Well, if you've been listening to the show over the past few weeks, you'll recognise those sounds were a remix of the Sights and Sounds from The GAN. And over the past few weeks, Karen Jasinski's talked about life on The GAN. That's Australia's epic rail journey that crosses the length of the country from Darwin to Adelaide and back. We learned what it's like to travel on the train and what to expect in your cabin, and also the fabulous dining experiences. Karen's also detailed the off-train experiences that can be had in places like Catherine Gorge, Simpsons Gap and Alice Springs, and then going underground at Cooper Pedy. Now Carolyn finds out what it's like to live and work on the train as she talks with Bruce Smith, Service Operations Manager, who's been on board the cross-country journeys for more than 25 years.
Bruce has been on board for 25 years, so he knows all about the GAN and all the other Journey Beyond trains, which haven't always been called Journey Beyond, have they?
Look, we've had a few name changes. 25 years ago, it was owned by the federal government and it was known as Australian National. Then we had 2 years with the federal government, Australia National. And like all good governments, they decided, why are we keeping this? So they sold it. And it was named Great Southern Rail. Yeah. As we added more businesses to the core business of the rail.
And more experiences.
Yeah. They decided, look, it's not Great Southern Rail. It's really Journey Beyond. And that's what we epitomise. We go to journeys beyond.
It is. It's not just about that rail journey, is
no,
it?
It's all those things you do
off the train and the experiences, the things you see, the people you meet. Now, you have got some great stories to tell. Not all the weekend broadcasts,
no,
I can
that's,
tell you.
Look, I was just thinking that when I came down here to talk to you, I started off as a hospitality attendant 25 years ago.
So what does a hospitality attendant do?
Well, they are the people that work in the bars. They serve you food. They serve you drinks, and then we have the back of house people. They clean the rooms, make the beds, and make your room look special when you come back.
So for anyone who hasn't been on the GAN before, I can tell you that the cabins are very cosy little affairs. They're ingeniously designed so that when you walk in, you've got a three-seater lounge, and you've got this beautiful big window, so you're looking at the world go by. And then when it comes to dinner time, you leave your cabin and the cabin fairies come along. These are the hospitality attendants.
They're the housekeepers, as we call them.
They're amazing. They transform your lounge cart into a bedroom.
They do.
And in
they
gold do. Class, you've got bunk beds.
Yep.
It's always a laugh and a toss of a coin who gets to go up top. In platinum class, you get almost a double bed.
No, it's a full-size double bed.
A full-size double bed, very special.
Yep.
And both classes are great fun. You know, it's your choice whether you want the gold or the platinum. But from a hospitality attendant, these guys do everything. But one day they might be making your room special. The next day they'll be serving you in the dining car where we're sitting right now.
Yep.
So if you hear the noise behind us, this is the train running and this is what it's actually like.
We don't like normally when we're not supposed to, Caroline, have a quiet train, because if we're supposed to be moving and it's quiet, that generally means something's not quite right. And my radio be blaring out at me and I'd probably have to go somewhere and find out why we're stopped.
Absolutely. If we go quiet and your radio goes off, we'll be worried.
Yeah, we've got an issue. But look, we don't have issues on the train, Caroline. We only have solutions.
That's
what we like to say anyway. Yeah. But look, to be truthfully honest, there can be a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes.
That's absolutely right.
Yeah. The other thing is, a boring train trip for me as an operations manager, it's a wondrous thing to behold, because that means, you know, I've had a good trip. There's
nothing's gone wrong.
No, on-train runnings and stuff like that. So,
good. So, back to your career from a hospitality attendant. What was next?
They were looking for somebody to be a duty manager who worked at night time, because there's only one person on the train at night. These days we carry pagers. A gentleman called Greg Fisher, who was a train manager, he's not here anymore. He called me and said, we want you to go to Sydney. I said, okay, but you need to go as a duty manager. And I said, mate, I've never done that job before. And he said, yeah, but you've used radios, because I used to work out between Port Augusta and Kalgoorlie in my role as an electrician.
Right.
And we were always on the radio talking to train control. So they stuck me in that and I did a bit of relieving, and then they called for the position and I became a full-time duty manager. Then a position came up, I think after 5 years as duty manager, and I received the rank of train manager. And
what does that involve?
Basically, you're in charge of the whole train, the crew, any issues. No, I just said we don't have issues. any particular problems that may crop up.
That we never hear about.
That you never hear about. Look, guest issues that aren't happy about whatever reason, you know, and you go down and go down and chat and see what you can do. Sometimes we can do, sometimes we can't, but most times our guests are appreciative that we've made the attempt, and they understand if the train's full, I can't give them a forward-facing cabin, because 50%...
I was going to ask, what kind of issues could it possibly be?
Yeah, look, it can range from anything to that, or that, you know, their dietaries haven't been...
Looked after, sensory
issues, we're aware of it. Certainly get looked after, and that section, the chefs are fantastic. And by the way, they're chefs, we don't take cooks.
The food has been absolutely amazing, and I love the fact that you tailor the menu to the areas that you're passing through.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's a lovely little touch. The menus are outstanding. Just the design of everything is beautiful. The ambience is lovely. You know,
and that's what we're about. Other than where we're taking you and the experiences you're going to have off the train, the ambience of the train itself, the dining car, the lounge car, meeting guests from, well, it doesn't matter, everywhere. Everybody's got a story.
It's lovely, the people you meet, but it's lovely to meet them without knowing who
they are.
It doesn't matter on the train. Everybody's equal.
I'll tell you a funny story, Carol.
Okay.
Quite often if I'm at the bar talking to some guests, and you just say, what do you do for a job, sir? Because our clientele are probably 60 onwards and, retired maybe. And you receive all sorts of answers, but this gentleman said, I'm a rocket scientist.
Oh, serious? I thought you were going to say brain surgeon.
No. He, deadly serious, he was a rocket scientist. Because, it's not rocket science. Well,
yeah.
And if it was, well, he knew all about it. Yeah, because he was a rocket scientist. Yeah. Look, they pop up everywhere.
We were out at the old telegraph station the other night, and we had someone come out, and he was explaining the galaxy to us, and he was pointing out the stars, and the next morning was saying, oh, wasn't that fabulous? I had no idea all the things he was pointing out, and lo and behold, who do we have on board? An astronomer. And he said he was spot on, and I thought, I wouldn't have known any different, but it was lovely to have, somebody who knew what they were talking about saying he was dead right. So,
look, there have been a couple of occasions on the train, Caroline, that... we put a particular call across a couple of trips ago, and I don't think I'm telling tales out of school here. We had a gentleman that basically he'd had a heart attack.
Oh.
And we called from assistance over the radio, and we had one of the Adelaide cardiologists on the train. And that gentleman with, because we're equipped with oxygen resus, defibrillators, we've got an RFDS kit, which we had to use coming up in conjunction with the RFDS. But, he was a cardiologist, and basically he saved the gentleman's life.
Okay, so tell me, I want to know your funniest story that we can broadcast.
Look, I think the funniest thing for me, anyway, we had a gentleman in the Platinum, and he was a very hard gentleman to please. We bent over backwards, and and in those times, we've always got a smile on our face.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And we do what we can to alleviate the scenario or the situation. But anyway, this gentleman called me down. A hospitality attendant came and called me down. He was in Platinum, and he wanted to know why in 2020 he couldn't turn the volume down on the manual public address announcements I made.
Of your addresses?
Yeah. And I said, well, look, it's pretty simple, sir. Well, I said, you need to hear the announcements I make. But if there's a safety issue on board the train and maybe we, for whatever reason, I need to make a safety announcement, you need to be able to hear it. So if you have the ability to turn that down, well, it's pretty pointless. You're not going to hear the message.
You're in danger.
He had his wife sitting down there listening to me, and he sort of wasn't really happy with that answer because he wanted his own way, and we couldn't give it to him because sometimes we can't. Any rate, and I just said to him, look, I'll make my last announcement instead of 9 o'clock. I'll make it at 8 o'clock. I'll turn the music down in the Platinum Club car so, you know, it's not too noisy for you. But at the end of that, I said to him, look, but I do need to retain the right. If I need to make an announcement after 9 o'clock, you know, I'm going to have to do that. And he looked at me and he said, if you wake me up after 8 p.m. when I'm asleep, you be frightened, you be scared, I will find you. And I just looked at him and I said, sir, I've been married for 45 years, nothing frightens me anymore. His wife laughed, because it was a good line, his wife laughed, and he wanted to laugh, but he wasn't going to give me the satisfaction. So that's probably one of the funniest ones I can tell. I mean, as I told a couple of other stories to you, but we won't go into detail about those. But yeah, no, I've seen a lot of things. I was on the Indian Pacific at Kalgoorlie in Y2K, New Year's Eve. Mm-hmm. We didn't know, like everybody else, because our locos are computer controlled, we didn't know if the loco was going to shut down. We weren't going to be able to start it.
Of course, I remember that panic.
So do I, but it didn't, like everything else.
Nothing happened.
I was on the train that bought the Olympic flame from Kalgoorlie to Port Augusta for, when was the Olympic? Yeah, 2000, yeah, 2000 yeah. Olympic. Yeah, had my photo taken with the flame. I was on the inaugural GAN in 2004 to Darwin. I was a duty manager working at night. Never seen so many people line the road.
And to wave, yeah.
Yeah, and as we got closer to Darwin, there was, I would have been about 24 young ladies lining the side of the road, and they waved, but it wasn't with their hands, so you figure out. That was quite nice. Thank you, ladies.
can I tell you my claim to fame on the Indian Pacific?
Yeah.
So the GAN, so people listening, the GAN goes from Darwin to Adelaide, up the length of Australia. The Indian Pacific goes from the two oceans, the Indian and the Pacific, goes east to west, or west to east, from Perth to Sydney. So I'm on the Indian Pacific. We're crossing the Nullarbor, which means no trees. There's nothing across the Nullarbor. And when you are travelling through nothing, you let your guard down a little bit. So I'm in the cabin, come out of the little shower, which is, it's a tiny cabin, got my blind wide open because I'm taking in the view. And of course, remember, there's nothing outside the train, supposedly. So I come out of the shower, toss the towel off, and then outside my window are a couple of workers.
Track workers, yeah.
And they just shook their head and looked away in disgust. Radioed ahead to the lounge cart. So when I arrived for breakfast that morning, I had a full applause and I was nicknamed the Nullarbor Nymph.
Carolyn, you wouldn't be the first, you won't be the last,
no,
trust
absolutely.
Me. Yeah. And it's worse when it's night time and you get your light on because you can't see out.
No, that's
no,
right.
But everybody can see in. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bruce, thank you so much.
Carolyn Jasinski was speaking on board the GAN with Service Operations Manager Bruce Smith. This is the Travel Writer Show on J Air 88 FM in Melbourne.